First Sunday of August, the 11th Sunday of Pentecost. We're grateful that you are here, and we're going to worship the Lord and just have a wonderful time together. We're grateful to the Lord for the rain we've received, and we trust that in the same way our souls will be nourished as the Spirit falls through His Word and Sacrament today. A couple of announcements. You'll see that at 10:30 this Tuesday, we are having Parkview is having their folding of the clothes. If you can join, please show up, men and women, anyone that would like to be involved. We can use all. It's on the back side of the plaza. If you have any more details or anything you'd like to say, Carolyn.
I would like to thank everybody.
Thank you for those of you who have been bringing soap. They have a lot of needs now, and we just want to help where we can, and thank Carolyn for taking the lead. Next Sunday evening, we'll be having our healing service at 7 p.m. We would invite you to attend that. Any other announcements? Yes?
There are cucumbers and green beans in the narthex for anyone who would like to take them home.
There are cucumbers and green beans for anyone. Are the green beans cooked already? There are green beans and cucumbers for anyone that would like to bring those. Thank you, Everett, for bringing the fruit of your labor. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
The ladies' study will meet at 7 o'clock this Wednesday at Carolyn's house. We're just going to be putting together some bags, the hygiene bags.
Okay, so the ladies are meeting this week. Now, is this commencing it?
No, this is just the one time.
Okay, so the ladies are meeting at 7 o'clock this week at Carolyn's house to put together what type of bags?
The hygiene bags for Parkview.
Okay, hygiene bags for Parkview. So the ladies will meet at 7 p.m. at Carolyn's. Thank you. Anyone else? Let's move to prayer requests. The one that you'll see there is a week from tomorrow. Andy Banky will be, or a week from Tuesday. Andy will be having his surgery on his knee and hip, and let's keep him in prayer as he has that done, and we'll be keeping him in prayer. Any other items for prayer? Yes, Tony.
My dad, Winston, they took him to Winchester Hospital last night. He's an AFib, so he's being evaluated for a pacemaker.
Okay. Let's keep Winston Brill in our prayers, Tony's dad, as he's an AFib and being tested for pacemaker. Thanks, man. Keep us posted. Carrie?
Just give you an update on that. He did have his first biological shot last week, and the joint pain has eased up a little bit. He's able to walk. They are going to do some more tests this week, a screening CT scan, because he did come back negative for autoimmune. They're still trying to figure out what's going on.
Okay, so let's continue to keep Ned in prayer. We're grateful. It sounds like he's in a little less pain than if that's eased up. So we're grateful for that, but they're still doing testing. So let's keep Ned and his wife Lou in our prayers. Anyone else? Yes, Gail.
So I'll be flying to Texas tomorrow to help mom with things and her make it well and all that sort of thing. So prayers for me, but that week, and also I was probably getting a house in Winters, so she'll be living here in a month, so prayers for all of the transitions in her life right now.
So let's keep Gail in prayer. She travels to Texas, and just keep Elle Jean in our prayers and all the logistics, and it'll be wonderful for Sue and Agnes to have another neighbor, so that would be wonderful. So let's just keep all the logistics in prayer. Robert.
Let's keep Mr. Harvey and Mrs. Harvey in prayer. I hope he don't go to sleep today, but he is on chunky.
Let's keep Ruth and Glenn in our prayers. May I lift up, Robert, what you mentioned to me?
Yes, you can.
Let's keep Cheyenne in our prayers. She's taking flight back to Ohio, and in situations and circumstances that Robert's not aware of, and we just And this is a biblical pattern for this type of prayer. Let's just ask God to put a hedge of protection around her. And just the Spirit would minister to Cheyenne. So let's keep Cheyenne in our prayers, and Robert as well. Yes, Patty. Gwen's back at Carillion in Roanoke, so let's keep Gwen in our prayers and Patty in that situation. We're keeping you lifted up. I know it's tiring. Anyone else? Yes, Anne.
Could you please pray for our daughter Rebecca? She's having some troubles recovering from her shoulder surgery.
Okay. Rebecca Banky had shoulder surgery, and she's having some difficulties with that recovery. No, she didn't come. She's still up there in Maryland for the recovery, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And did I, Webb?
Sid Travers with Terry and Kim and Darby. They're having a guy coming up in North Carolina. Sweet Emmy Lou's turning 8. So I think you're going to be a bachelor all by myself. Just me and Grace.
You're not supposed to smile when you say that. Oh. But don't take advice from me. I mean, do as you please. But let's keep the Atkins girls as they travel on our prayers. All right. Any other prayer requests? Let's go. Our gracious Lord, one of the dearest parts of our Sunday gathering is when we, as brothers and sisters of the same family, we truly do share each other's burdens. Our joys are doubled when we share, and our burdens are hopefully carried together. When one laughs, the other joins in that laughter, and when one cries, we taste the salt. This is how you intended your family to operate, for you are a sympathetic high priest, who in every way that we have been are aware, cognitive, and attentive to our needs. And you want your body to function that way. And we're grateful that through the Spirit, we do function that way. The love for one another, love for Jesus Christ, and the true agreement that bringing our concerns together as one to you in prayer is not only what you've called us to do, but it's good for the soul. And we just pray, lifting up these, we pray even now that you'll be with Andy, prepare his body for the hip replacement on the 13th. We commit it to you. We pray that you'll be with Winston as he's in the hospital on AFib. Give all those involved in the assessment wisdom. And may his body be receptive if they put a pacemaker in that will bring stability. We thank you for improvement in the pain level for Ned, but we just pray that you'll continue to guide and give wisdom as they continue to try to get to the bottom of this. We pray that you be with Gail as she travels and be with all of the logistics. We know that these are tasks that can be frustrating, but we know that the path is perfect and you are working it out, leading all the way. So open the doors that only you can open and close those that need to be closed. We pray that you be with Ruth and Gwen. May, in particular, Ruth feel better and be able to get some rest again. We pray that you would be with Rebecca as she's having difficulties from her recovery. We pray that you be with the Atkins and Carrie as they travel. And Lord, we just ask that you would hold tenderly in the nail-scarred palms of your hand two young women that we, our hearts go out to. And that would be Cheyenne and Gwen. So many times in life, Lord, we have to live by faith that there's a path out. We sometimes don't see it. Sometimes we've tread around it for so long that we despair of there being any resolution. But may we never give up hope. May we always, against all circumstances, may we always cling to your promise. And we just pray that you'll strengthen the families. Pray for Patty. We pray for Robert in particular. We just commit them to you. We know that it's never too late to have a wonderful story of reconciliation and reunion. Until then, put a hedge of protection around them, we pray. And encourage all those who are saddened by the path they're walking. We thank you again for the opportunity to gather as your family. For we're here not only because we're brothers and sisters, we're here primarily because we have you as our Father. And it's only through Christ Jesus that we can come unto the Father. So hear our prayers and receive our worship through the risen Lord. In his name, amen. As always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and righteous spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take on your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you look with me to a portion of Psalm 145, we'll call it to worship by whole verse. And then we'll stand and sing hymn 49. All your works praise you, O Lord, and your faithful servants bless you.
May they know the glory of your kingdom and speak of your power.
That the people may know of your power and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all ages.
The Lord is faithful to all his words, and merciful in all his deeds.
I sing of my King, our God.
Exodus chapter 16. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out to this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came down and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat."
Thank you.
generously pour out your mercy to forgive where our conscience is afraid, and to provide that for which by ourselves we do not even presume to pray. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In this saying, he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all in the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, that we are to grow up in every way unto him, who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it was equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so it builds itself up in love.
Thank you.
eternal living waters, the bread of heaven that satisfies our souls. We give you praise and honor, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 6, verses 22 through 35. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea thought that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gives them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Thus saith the Lord."
Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace be to you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's hard to imagine, but 17 years ago, I started working for, alongside of, a senior pastor, and I was his associate. And I truly loved him, and I respected him, and he and I had completely different ways of understanding life and seeing things, which made it a pretty good team. And I've grown to always respect and appreciate him. But he had a way of preaching, because I'm about as creative as a box of rocks, and he thrived on creativity and would have new programs and vibrant programs, and one in which that I have to admit I thought was pretty stupid and silly at best, but I'm a good soldier and he was my boss, so I went along with it. And some of you may remember it. It was a book that was studied, and it even had little corresponding rubber bands around your wrist, and it was to take a challenge to go 40 days without complaining. And I thought, well, this is silly. I thought, I sort of, up until then, sort of had liked complaining. I mean, my favorite comedians were people like Don Rickles and others and Rodney Dane. They just made a, you know, I thought it was just a way of approaching life. What's so bad about complaining? I thought it was silly. And I was wrong. And from that, I can honestly say, not so much that study, but subsequent thinking and digging I did, it changed my life. And I started to see complaining in a more theological way. So out of that, I developed a premise. And it's a premise for my sermon. And you may think I'm making more out of complaining than I should, but I don't think, having heard the scriptures we just read, you could think that I'm exaggerating the import of living a life without complaint. And here's my premise. There are three causal phrases, or two causal phrases. I'm going to suggest to you that poor memory leads to unnecessary worry that leads to constant complaining. Poor memory leads to unnecessary worry that leads to constant complaining. Let's look at them using Exodus 16 as our chief text. We tend to forget. We all have certain degrees of amnesia. We all have certain degrees of spiritual Alzheimer's. We just tend to forget. Or if we remember, our memories get convoluted. They get top-heavy. Memory, and you know that I love tradition, and you know that I think memory is important, especially during the chaos and the circumstances of life that bombard. But there's a difference between memory and nostalgia. Nostalgia actually comes from a Greek word, a compound word, that means home pain. It's that longing for something that no longer is, to the point that you're miserable. It's not just little kids at summer camp that get homesick. Sometimes in the wrong use of memory, we can be so sickened when we think that our best days are behind us. The good times are just something we reminisce about. We're with John Mellencamp thinking, well, I guess life goes on even after the joy of living is gone, when we use memory inappropriately. And I'm going to suggest to you that by the time we come on the scene in Exodus 16, the children of Israel they've forgotten a lot. So let me go through, and I'm not going to turn in scripture for time, but trust me, it's there. In Exodus 13, God frees these children of Israel. They're about 600 men, and with women and children, close to 2 million, some say 2.5 million. In Exodus 13, God sets them free from Pharaoh. And by Exodus 14, guess what the people are doing? They're complaining. We're going to die, they say. So at the end of Exodus 14, he says, I'll come and fight for you. And then chapter 15, guess what the people do again? They complain. We're thirsty. So at the end of chapter 15, God says, I'll come and I'll make the water sweet for you. Numbers 11, find them again. Now they're complaining, saying, we're hungry. So what God does, he comes and he feeds them in our text. They're worried again, but I'm going to suggest to you, had they remembered correctly, they would have seen that worry is unnecessary. Because every time they complained in the past, God in his faithfulness responded to their needs. See, God is faithful. And the promise of Scripture is, and the story of your life is, when you remember it properly, God has never failed in any way with anyone. And I'm free to be challenged. If any of you would like to stand now and tell us a time that the God of the universe dropped the ball when it came to you, we'll listen. But if we're honest and we use our memories properly, even though he's never promised to alleviate all the difficult times, he's promised to be faithful. And our testimony, besides the testimony of Scripture, when we think of it correctly, is he's faithful and always has been faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. We sing. So worry is unnecessary. Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount. Why are you worrying? I've never met a bird that was going to seek counseling because it was anxious about its next meal or the nest it's going to make. The birds flitter around. And if those insignificant animals have no need to worry, how much more you, who are God's beloved children, redeemed by the death of his Son? Worry is unnecessary. And see, God's faithfulness, and this is so beautiful, and it's the truth. For Paul tells to Timothy, who struggled with insecurity, Timothy, throughout the gospel, the letters to the pastoral epistles to Timothy, Paul's always having to encourage Timothy. He's a good pastor, but he struggled like a lot of us do with thinking he didn't measure up. He was too young. He just wasn't worthy. And it's to Timothy that Paul wrote that even when you're faithless, God is faithful. And the truth of the matter is, the reason we don't need to worry is that the basis of God's faithfulness is his character, not you getting it right. It's his faithfulness to his own being, not you remembering to do everything properly. It's his sinlessness, not your sinlessness. It's his righteousness, not our own. And it's his faithful love. And that's why we read in Exodus 16 that instead of ignoring them after all this incessant and unnecessary complaining, he doesn't upbraid them. It says he rains. He rained bread upon them. And when we look at that word for rain, it has two connotations. The first thing about rain is it isn't produced by us. It falls from on high. It comes from above. The psalmist in Psalm 105 calls it the bread from the sky. And you can look back, if you remember properly, there are times that you don't know where it came from, but that help came to you. That grace came to you. You didn't see it coming. You couldn't have predicted it. You couldn't have planned it or put it in your schedule. But it came from on high. We might say out of the blue. It was bread from the sky. James tells us that God alone is the source of all good gifts. But the fact that it rains down not only means it comes from above. The term there for rain is it's overabundant. It's a full abundance. Unlike Lazarus in that parable that Jesus told that could only eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, when God takes care of us, it's not just the crumbs, it's this overabundance of blessings. Like Abraham. And probably one of the most difficult tests in Scripture. Far more difficult than any test I've ever gone through. And I would suggest probably far more difficult than any test any of you have gone through. Abraham in Genesis 22, when he was told to sacrifice his only son, the son of promise. And he, trusting God, not understanding at all the circumstances, not liking at all the task, wishing he could do something else somewhere else. But he rose early in the morning and he went. And just at the right moment, he had his hand stopped and he noticed that God had provided a ram caught in the thicket. And Abraham renamed that place a trial. After the name he gives to God, you may have heard it. You may have heard preachers use it. Some singers sing about it. But this is the name Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh or God provides. Brothers and sisters, if it's true for Abraham, it's true for you. What we label a terrible crisis, a situation that we can't understand, is a point in time, space, that we confess, if we remember correctly, that God provides abundantly. See, our worrying is what leads to complaining. And I'm going to suggest to you, and this is where I was wrong about that program to do 40 days without complaining, is the more I understood it, I need to live my life without complaining. Because from Genesis to Revelation, the scripture is very clear, and I'm not overstating this. Complaining is blasphemous. Complaining is not a, you know, just a character flaw. You know old Bobby just gripes all the time. Complaining, if we understand it biblically, and we see it in this passage, is blasphemous. Look in verse 3. Verse 3 of Exodus 16. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness." Their complaint was blasphemous. They're looking at the faithful God and saying, "My situation is your fault." And it gets even clearer if you look down to verse 7. "And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord." See, when I complain about others, I'm ultimately complaining about God. For he is the one sovereignly in control. If I complain about situations, my memory is not serving me properly, that God is always faithfully and in his proper time and way, working all things according to his plan and purpose. It's blasphemy. I had someone tell me not too long ago, and they said it with a great deal, some bit of frustration and anger toward me. They said, "You know, you don't deserve God's mercy again." And I looked at them, because I'm always far more interested in being a teacher than being liked. And I said, "You know, you made the most blasphemous statement I've ever heard anyone state." And I said that not so much to defend, my character. It wasn't in any way to try to justify that, yes, I'm worthy of God. But when this person said, "You don't deserve God's mercy again," they're not making a commentary about Tom. They're making a blasphemous commentary about the faithful nature of our ever-merciful God. He always sends his mercy. He always is the true bread that comes from heaven, for it's Jesus Christ. So we understand, since God is forever faithful, I'm going to work it backwards. Since God is forever faithful, complaining is blasphemous, and worrying is unnecessary. Worry doesn't take away your problems. It just takes away the peace of knowing that God is always faithful, eternally. I've got a modest proposal. In honor of the gentleman I mentioned earlier, and I thought, well, I'm going to do something creative. He might even be proud of me. I'm going to make a modest proposal. I want you to trust the faithfulness of God as much as you do your phone. It hit me this past week. I use this phone a lot. I mean, I look to it for knowledge. I used to carry around a 3x5 card. If I heard something I didn't, a word I didn't know, or a person I'd write down, then later I'd go look it up in the dictionary. I look to this for knowledge. And I generally, if I trust the source, I sort of trust it. I use it for joy, the music I listen to and whatnot. I rely on it to keep me connected to those that I love and am tied to. But most importantly, I love an app on here called Waze. And I travel a lot into areas that I've not gone before. And until I arrive at the destination, I never know for sure I'm on the right path. But I trust my phone. It's a simple illustration, brothers and sisters, but if I can trust a smartphone, how much more can we trust the eternal sovereign God whose faithfulness endures forever? We need not worry. We need not complain. Not just for 40 days, but not for all eternity. For he is faithful. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
He is right to give our thanks and praise.
Forgiving and restoring God, we thank and praise you because you make the gifts of your creation into the means of our redemption, and you turn our fallen folly into the occasion of your risen glory. In Christ the Lamb, you gave us everything you had. Though we strayed from your ways and slayed your Holy One, yet you set before us this gracious banquet in which that crucified and risen Lamb reconciles us with you. And so we live in gratitude for your mercy and in praise of your grace, joining the company of heaven in their constant hymn,
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Faithful Father, in Christ you give us the food that will never perish, but endures for all eternity. Give us this bread always, that coming to you, your people will never be hungry. And believing in you, your people will never be thirsty. Bless us with the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, that this bread and this wine may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all, make your church humble, gentle, and patient, living a life worthy of its calling. You summon apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Empower your people for service and build your church up in love. Draw all who look to you with hope into unity of faith, growing together into the full stature of Christ. Renew your servants in the gifts of ministry, and bless any who labor and are heavy laden by surrounding them with the joyous companionship of your saints, until all who share in one Lord, one faith, and one baptism are one in unity before your throne, everlasting God, Trinity of perpetual peace. Amen.
Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We come to this table that God has promised to prepare for us. It is truly, as we use the term, comfort food. For we come and we remember that Jehovah Jireh not only provided a ram for us in the thickets, but he provided a Savior for us on the cross, who redeemed us from all our sin, our shame, all the condemnation. And through this remembrance, we praise him as we come forth, reminding ourselves of his covenantal love for each one of us that will faithfully endure forever. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come and to receive this blessed gift, our Passover lamb. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast together. Thank you.
Our Father, with the psalmist, we have truly tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Not just in this service, but in the living of our lives as your children, surrounded by your ever faithful mercy, love, grace, and guidance. All is well for our Savior, as that lamb slain yet risen is at the right hand. So we walk in newness of life, shouting forth your goodness, and asking this in your name. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship by singing hymn 340, Across the Ages. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Amen. Thank you.